Beep, boop, 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 boop. Ringing, ringing, ringing.
Hello, is this card holder Mr. Paul Giamatti?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, just take it off. Like, it's a proof of life if I talk. Sorry, I had a gag in my mouth, and I was just being sexually humiliated.
Mr. Giamatti, this is American Express.
Who's calling, please?
This is American Express. We're calling about some suspicious charges on your account.
Well, that's very valid because I have been in a, as I said, sexually compromised position. I have been hogtied for the last at least 12 hours while this dominatrix has had full access to all my finances.
Mr. Giamatti, there is a charge for $10,000 on your American Express card for a company called BigNaturals.com.
$10,000?
Mr. Giamatti, if in order for us to cancel the charge on your account, I need to
cancel
ask you...
No, don't cancel the charge unless she tells me to tell you.
Mr. Giamatti, in order to make this transaction go through, I need you to say on the phone now, this call is being recorded, do you prefer Big Naturals?
Sir, I am trying to say what you want me to say, and also what she demands that I say it. I am a cooked pig. Ow, I'm a cooked wild pig.
Mr. Giamatti, can I just get you to say, I love Big Naturals?
Natural.
Oh, you've been pranked by the mad dog. Paul Giamatti, you're on KXCRR, W999.9, The Edge, Hard Rock Radio, The Morning Zoo Crew. You've been pranked by the mad dog.
I'm being fucked again with something hot.
You've won not just live humiliation on the radio, but tickets to see Queen's Wrench.
Mr. Giamatti, you're going to see Queen's Wrench at the county fair, and you enter our mega raffle sweepstakes to win tickets to see the Great White Reunion Tour at the Georgia Fireworks Factory. Mr. Giamatti, what station rocks the nation?
I wanna wake up in the city with lead in the water. I want to be a part of it. Sniff poppers in Pittsburgh. Hello, everybody.
We are coming to you live from the Steel City. The Uber City.
The Iron City.
The Iron City.
Guys, I think we've actually already passed the date. But you know we're not very strict on this show. We keep it loose.
We don't believe in numbers.
Yeah, yeah. What is time, but just a man-made concept? But that being said, this is the episode where we are acknowledging our 1 year Chopoversary.
Woo,
guys! We have a full baby boy, full grown baby podcast, and we've been doing it for a year, and we decided to celebrate by going on vacation to Pittsburgh, baby, Western Pennsylvania. Sound off. Woo!
Woo. Our podcast is about ready to have toilet trained and remove its diapers.
Yeah, dear little Chapo, when you were first born, even with your horrible sound quality and long pauses of dead air, I thought this is just a special, caring, loving little boy. But after a year, you're a selfish pig demanding more and more subscriptions. I see the kind of adult you will grow into, unfortunately. You are a tyrannical baby who I hate, and you are cruel to your mother and petulant to your father.
It is true, though, that the pod evolved like a little baby because newborns look like shriveled alien heads. And our first episodes were basically the podcast version of that.
Yeah.
And then it grew more beautiful and cherubic as time went on.
The first episode had so much dead air that you could fly a 747 through it. and it wouldn't destroy the podcast because that's actually, there's no proof that that will destroy a podcast. So you'd actually have to paint thermite paint onto SoundCloud and explode it, and the Black Eagle Trust could take all the gold that's in the basement of SoundCloud.
I mean, it's hard to imagine that, but we've been doing this for a year now, and what a year it's been. It's been such a good year for me personally, and terrible for everyone else in the world.
Yeah, that's been really awkward, is watching everyone basically have a nationwide nervous breakdown while you're just, you know, having more fun than you've ever had in your life.
I hate pretending to be depressed on Twitter.
I don't even do it anymore. Like, people are like, I don't know why I'm going to live another day. And I'm like, so guys, another day where I have to pick between gaming or jacking off.
Why not both?
Yeah, why not both? I don't have to worry about anything.
That's
ever.
What we call a Sophie's choice.
Yeah.
This is the kind of humor that we've built our house upon, our city upon a hill. So, yeah, I think we're entitled to a little introspection, a look back. Who can forget, like Felix alluded to, our first episode, which you're not going to hear because we've deleted it and no one will ever hear.
No one, yeah.
But let's play for you now a clip from the first episode.
So, I think it's this anime. He's Spike Spiegel. He's in Cowboy Bebop. Hillary is. If you guys haven't seen the anime, you can just tone it out. I'm not going to keep going with this shit. This is our first episode, and you're already just leaving me with nothing. I already resent both of you.
I don't want to do this show anymore. This is a bad idea, guys.
We'll never make 50,000.
It's the Chapo Clip Show, everybody. People love clip shows, right?
Yeah, they're a staple of sitcoms for generations now.
But I feel like we're at the right time at the right place, which is, you know, that's 10/10 of all success is being in the right place at the right time, or the wrong place at the wrong time. But just as long as the factors converge together, that equals success. And the main factor is that we started doing this around the time of the Democratic primary was heating up. And, you know, we sort of gave voice to a burgeoning demographic. The Bernie bro. But I think one of the show's most memorable moments was when some fireworks happened on, like, you know, I think probably one of the most famous podcast debates of all time that's now iconic back during the Democratic primary. Who can forget the violence and the rancor that happened on the show over the Democratic primary in Nevada, then in the Nevada caucus, and the violence that erupted there.
It was a disturbing scene.
So let's play that clip right now.
The Constitution gives us a right to free assembly, and it is a right that cannot be abrogated, and it is a right that you cannot interpret. As far as I'm concerned, the only threat to law and order here in the Nevada caucus is represented by Ms. Clinton and the jingos that she's whipped up.
It would make sense that in your interpretation of the Constitution, you think that this only leaves one protected class, the basement onanists of the Bernie Sanders movement, whereas in truth, the Constitution says nothing of protecting these lads who take a rocket-propelled grenade launcher and load it with dildos and throw it even at such a liberal rabble-rouser as Barbara Boxer and just ensconce her in a shower of dildos in the Nevada caucus.
As far as I'm concerned, the only dildo here right now are you and the crypto dildos and jingos that you've whipped up.
Call me a dildo one more time and I'll shove you up my fucking ass.
I'm Dick Cavett.
Yeah. So, you know, the primary, you know, it got heated. And, you know, we were there to cover it all. And then looking back, I mean, I think we had a rocky first two episodes, but I think we really came into our own in our third episode when we brought on young Brendan James as a guest, not knowing that he would in fact be our producer, because when I got Brendan, I was like, Brendan, you should come on the show. We're going to talk Ross Douthat. You can talk to us about your Hannah date. your lunch date with Sean Hannity? And then Brendan was like, yeah, cool, man, that's great. So listen, do you guys need someone to like help you like edit and record the show? Because I mean, it's great, but it's awful. And I just think that like, you know, like I could do that. Like, this is my hobby. I'm a sound guy. And I was like, sure, why not?
To think you guys lifted Brendan up from being a minor mixtape producer to being, well, Brendan. What
now he's basically the George Martin of Chapo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that was the episode that featured the debut of our, I think now, signature feature, the Chapo reading series.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, we christened that, the SS reading series, with the famous Ross Douthat, William F. Buckley sailboat anecdote. Episode 12 featured the first appearance of future co-host Virgil Texas. Virgil, you came on as a guest way back in May of last year to talk about Ron Fournier.
Our friend and hero and enduring inspiration to all of us.
Who That's right.
Taught us a form of dialectics, improved on the concept of Hegel, by explaining that you have two sides to everything and both of the sides should be listened to and that they should talk it out over some brews at the Capitol Steakhouse and synthesize their views into what's called compromise.
And now he's taking that belief out of Washington. He's retired from journalism since that time. And he is now, I guess, becoming a battle rapper in Detroit. Is that what he's doing?
He's leading the resistance from the hills, basically.
Oh, yeah.
After when he saw the writing on the wall when Trump was elected, that he needed to go underground.
Well, I think that Trump did mess with him because, like, Trump sort of messed his whole worldview. Because, like, maybe his side is worse than the other side. Maybe Trump's side is really bad.
But if you are a Fournierian dialectician, you'd realize that as Trump exists, there is an antithesis of Trump that we can hypothesize that definitely exists. Is it Bernie Sanders, who, as we know, is equally bad as Donald Trump and his supporters are the exact same people? Or is it some new, even farther leftist that hasn't even emerged yet?
Andrew Cuomo.
So Fournier is basically in his dilapidated mansion on 8 Mile Road, hypothesizing the future anti-Trump.
He's working hard for us.
Fournier was one of the few people who was like, guys, Hillary might really fuck up Michigan. And everyone, every like hack was like, shut the fuck up, Ron, I hate you. And then he was right.
In fact, in the, I believe it was the DNC leaks, they had a list of journalists they were going to push some stupid pro-Hillary message on. And then down in the list was Ron Fournier, and in parentheses, maybe not worth it.
Yeah, and he turned out to be the only...
That's a mark of honor.
Yeah, he turned out to be the only person on that list who didn't have completely stupid predictions about this election, including us.
Including, you know? Yeah, we got owned pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, speaking of that... We
fucked up.
Speaking of that, you know, as I go back through these old episodes, I realize, you know, there's the Bernie Hillary primary that's going on that we got a lot of mileage out of, and there was also the fantastically entertaining Republican primary. But in all of this, just sort of lurking in the background, was Donald Trump. There was the specter of Trump just continually on the rise. And as we watched it happen, it got realer and realer and realer until it just became too real.
Yeah.
It got too real. And, you know, another episode that a lot of people talk about that I think is one of our signature moments was the episode we recorded right after the election, you know, when we were, like you guys, in a state of shock. So... let's listen to a clip from that episode right now, okay? Guys, I don't even know what to say. I'm in shock. I know I'm feeling very similar to what you guys are right now. I still can't believe it. I still can't believe it that we did it. Woo! And Trump is president. USA, USA,
USA, 45, 45,
guys,
mega.
Guys, I mean, I'm so fucking happy right now. Up until the last minute, I thought Hillary was gonna win.
I know.
I thought Hillary was gonna win, and then we were on stage, and then Virgil said Ohio and Florida are going where Trump.
I know.
And I just, like, tears came to my eyes because I knew that finally America was gonna be great again, and the libs and the feminists and everybody else who cut us down are going to fucking hell. They're going to rot in hell with the rest of the traitors.
Can you believe that those fucking idiots bought what we were selling about how Hillary is a bad candidate with a compromised position?
And we took her down, and we put Trump in there!
No, yeah, like, but
I just like, you know, I think about the people who are really going to benefit from a Trump presidency.
Mm-hmm.
All the white people.
Hell yeah. It's our turn again, finally.
All the virgins. It's
been too long.
And all the troops.
The sex that all is the gamers will be given.
Hey, guys, chant with me. Je suis Charlie. Martel. Je suis Charlie.
Martel.
Je suis Charlie.
Martel. Now, we talked about Virgil hopped on the Chapo train first as a guest way back in May.
Emphasis on train.
Yeah. But then in July, just a few months later, Amber made her first appearance as a guest to talk about Lady Ghostbusters and the Lady Ghostbusters phenomenon. This was one of my favorite movie episodes that we did. We talked about the movie and phenomenon of Lady Ghostbusters with Amber.
Bringing them on, like, just really... Well, it's legitimately made us very... It makes us very happy, and it's made the show so much
like
better.
Like, almost half of all of the episodes we've ever done have been recorded in Amber's living room.
Yeah.
So I figured we might as well start paying her, because I'd feel bad otherwise.
Yeah. We were also just making her life as annoying as possible. We're recording for 1 hour and 20 minutes, but we're also going to scream at the TV.
You know, Amber was on one of my favorite earlier episodes before she came on, which is, well, it is my favorite episode, the infamous Matthew Walther interview.
Oh boy.
Yeah. The Reckoning. Like,
that's
the part
of our lost episodes.
Yeah. That is the
it's
lost
not
episode.
Technically lost. You can listen to it, but I strongly advise against it.
For those of you who aren't aware, Matthew Walther is the sort of resident arch reactionary Catholic conservative of the Washington Free Beacon. I actually don't even remember how we originally got into it with him, but we tilted at each other online a few times. I think he said the show was evil or something like that. So we decided to have him on the show and have a debate about, you know, what, you know, religion, freedom, what his sort of I was trying to sort of suss out what his kind of ideal society would look like, or what he was willing to commit to in terms of his, like, sort of Catholic religious vision of a just and a divine society. The interview, sort of rocky. It didn't start out well and devolved from there.
I think everyone should listen to it. Top of my list.
I had people.
It is the Metal Machine music of podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
I actually had last night here in Pittsburgh, I had someone come up to me and talk about the Walther episode and just go, "Homie, oh my God." No, but why don't we play a clip from that classic Walther interview? So, Matt, what should the penalty for insulting the... Matt, wait, what? Matt, I want to know what you think the penalty... No, Matt, the question was, how much jail time should you get for insulting the Virgin Mary? Matt, are you okay? I just wanted to... The question... Matt, you have to speak. It's a podcast. So you need
I'm sorry.
I know. It's okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
No, Matt, it's not that big a deal.
I did so many bad things. I'm sorry.
No, really, you don't have to apologize. Oh. I just want you to answer the question.
I tried to do the right thing, but I'm weak. I'm too fucking weak.
I think you're being too hard on yourself.
I need you to help me. Help me.
I want to help you, Matt, but I just want you to answer the question.
I need you to help me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me, please. Forgive me, Father.
Yeah, no. Who could forget that? Amber did make a surprise appearance on the Walther interview, because we were recording it, like I said, in her living room. And this is a little behind the podcast moment. We're talking to him, and we were like going on for like what seemed like hours, going round and round about whether it's okay to ban Netflix or whether or whether Crush videos are okay with us.
No, that's why you have to ban Netflix, to stop Crush videos.
Right. And then, like, I swear to God, while we were doing having this interminable conversation with, like Felix said, more dead air than a silent film.
More racism, too.
Amber walks right in front of me holding up a yellow legal pad that she had, like, scrawled in all caps. If you don't talk about abortion, we're not friends anymore.
Yeah.
And then, like, she sort of hopped on. We didn't plan this at all. People thought it was like an ambush whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, also, she didn't realize you guys were recording. She walks around with signs like that all the time to tell you, you know, what the conditions of her friendship are.
And, and that's when the interview really just devolved into...
Yeah, she basically started speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
Which is a great sign of your worldview. If a woman...
No, he wasn't speaking in tongues. That's Pentecostal stuff. That's right, he started reciting a Hail Marys.
That's the same thing. Come on.
He actually recited the Tupac song Hail Mary.
It's honestly...
It's heathen gibberish.
It's honestly the most educational and sincere debate in the past 40 years.
Fuck you, Chomsky Foucault.
They should teach that in rhetoric school.
You know, that was probably our most disastrous interview, but I think... still our best and probably the most serious episode we've ever done, and the one that, you know, got... a lot of burn, I think people were really impressed by, was the Adam Curtis episode. You know, I'd been a huge fan of his films for a long time, and I was a little intimidated about talking to him, but I thought the episode was fantastic. Like I said, I still think it's one of the best things we've ever done. So let's play a clip now from that Adam Curtis interview.
Yo,
Adam, you ever see this TV show, Babylon 5? It's sort of like Star Trek Deep Space Nine. In fact, it's like pretty much the same show as Star Trek Deep Space Nine, but it's like pretty good. I mean, like, I think they're both pretty good, but they're about like space stations in space, and it's like political and shit.
Right.
Yeah, Professor Adam, I tried to watch Hypernormalization, but you missed how, like, after the 80s, like, titties started getting bigger because they started putting, like, hormones in milk. And, like, I was watching Magnum P.I. masturbate to it. And
right.
I noticed that the titties started getting bigger after season 4. And so, like, do you think that they hyper-normalize, like, tits?
Sorry. Are you lads all right?
Is this all right?
This is our show. Adam, I love your movies, man.
Yeah, dude. I honestly don't understand a lot of them, and I don't understand you with your accent. But I think the one with the war stuff is cool.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I heard about this show and I wanted to come on the show, and it seemed like you lads knew a bit about politics and a bit about culture. But then a strange thing happened when I actually appeared on the program. The interview turned out to be complete shit. And you babbled aimlessly about Metal Gear Solid and women's anatomy for 45 minutes. And I skipped my daughter's birthday party to do the interview. And once I had done it, I realized that the BBC had emailed me and canceled my contract. Hypernormalization was taken off of Netflix and every other platform just as it had been released.
Adam, have you ever met the Queen? What's she like?
Yeah, she's all right.
He was smart. He was smart. Yeah.
I think he liked us.
Yeah, Adam liked us, dude. So yeah, like, you know, we talk a lot about politics on the show. We talk about movies. We talk about whatever's going on, but like, we're not afraid to talk about our personal lives and to delve into things like, you know, emotions and things that are going on in our lives, just whatever's going on in our lives. And like, I think that's a strength of the show, is that we're not afraid to discuss our personal lives and our emotions and feelings and things like that. And for me, you know, a highlight is, you know, the episode where I had sort of an emotional breakthrough and breakdown, and we talked about it. So let's play that clip. Guys, I don't... Sometimes I look at my dog and I think about her dying every day, and I just know in my heart that I'm going to live through the death of my dog, and it fucking just destroys me inside thinking about it, looking in her little eyes and her little head. And I'm just like, what the fuck? What is this world that we live in? It's just, it's nothing. It's just fucking nothing. Nothing matters.
I mean, Will, I get what you're saying. Well, hold on. First off, no one likes buying diapers. People always pry into your personal life when you try to buy a fucking diaper, asking me how my day is. Well, pal, someone in my life is having trouble shitting in the toilet, be it an old person or a toddler, so don't fucking ask me. But anyway, you can sort of sidestep that by going to diapers.com and typing in code word Chapo Trap House. Will, what were you saying?
Fuck,
again,
Mark. Man? Mark, I can't fucking do this. It's just like, I get on a show, you know, twice a week, and I just like, you know, try to be funny, but like inside, like I'm hurting, man. It's bad.
Well, Will, man, like, you know, the inside of you is sort of like a concrete foundation, and sometimes it's like I feel like I'm going to yell, hey, Will Medicare down there, and I just will get echoes. But, ah, shit. Will, you fucking hate going to the post office, right, man?
You talk to fucking Obama with this shit?
Go to stamps.com. That is a loving tribute to Marin. We are fans of his show, I want to clarify.
So, you know, another dynamic, I think one of the strengths of the show is our rapport, our chemistry among the co-hosts. And, you know, like, we're friends, we all live in a big house together, or we all sleep in the same bed together.
Like Willy Wonka, yeah. Or Charlie, whatever, Charlie Candy.
Charlie Hebdo Factory. Yeah,
Oompa Loompa Doople Dee Doo, draw a picture of Muhammad for me and you.
But like I said, you know, I love my co-hosts, even though sometimes on the show, like, we don't see eye to eye.
Oi, you know, I was thinking the other day that I think Atlantis might be real.
Shut up, you idiot! You absolute idiot! You're talking absolute shit! This is drivel. I hate you. I hate you.
When she was a baby, me auntie saw a ghost.
You moron. You're talking absolute shite again. Shut up.
Or, I didn't like how daylight savings time you mix. They change the meaning of AM and PM on an alarm clock.
You're not real. You're not real. This is not real. How do you, it's like you live in a complete fantasy world. Rockbusters. That was my loving tribute to the Ricky Gervais show.
We want to point out that we like the Ricky Gervais show and Marin, the Marc Maron show. What the fuck with Marc Maron?
So, like, another thing that we do on the pod that I really like is like doing true crime shit, because like that's popular as hell.
There's nothing that's more satisfying than doing a hot piping podcast where you get an innocent man in a second trial.
Yeah, or throwing a sicko behind bars.
No, but like there's a lot of crimes out there in the world. There's a lot of crimes that are unsolved. There are a lot of crimes that have been solved, but in the wrong way. And like we're not afraid to go into incredibly granular detail if like just for the cause of justice and innocence. I mean, like, well, we think they're innocent, but you know what, who can say really? So let's play a clip from one of our searing true crime investigations. So Adnan, can you explain why it took you 20 minutes to go from your car to your front door, and your cell phone pings clearly show you were in another part of the town at the time where the same place the body was discovered, and in fact you're covered in blood right now?
I don't know, man.
Innocent. Get this man out of prison right now. This is a travesty of miscarriage and a travesty of justice. I want all of our listeners to just, like, you know, call your congressman, call your local police department, get this beautiful boy out of jail.
You know the mayor in your town? Find out where his kids go to school and tell him until Adnan is out. Threaten their kids.
Matt, what was it like growing up in Making a Murderer town?
It was a lot of fun. I remember as a kid riding my bike to the evidence manufacturing plant, and just smelling the smell of planted blood wafting in the summer breeze.
Matt grew up in Furman, Wisconsin.
But yeah, no, I think an important message is any person who's incarcerated that's featured on a podcast is innocent. Let them out of jail. Free yeah. all of them. And yes. As long as I'm on this topic, free Artie Lang as
free,
well.
Free Artie Lang, free Troy Ave, free Bobby Schmurder, free Ramzan Kadyrov. No, that the wrong got wrong.
Radovan Karadzic.
Karadzic, yeah. Free Karadzic.
Red Kulmladek.
Yeah, free Lauren.
Charles Taylor.
Free Charles Taylor. Free Lauren Nkunda. Free
Joseph Kony.
Free Joseph Kony. Free
Jahar.
Robert Dunst.
Robert Blake.
Dunst.
Robert Blake.
No. The guy from the Jinx.
Oh, yeah. Robert Durst.
Robert Durst.
Yeah. Robert Dunst.
Robert Dunst.
I got him mixed up because I was like, there's no name. His last name is Durst, like the Limp Bizkit guy.
I got to say, I didn't watch the Jinx.
It was really good.
Yeah, it was really good.
I wasn't aware of it until like the finale episode because that blew up Twitter. Before that, I hadn't really been paying attention. And I saw all this like Durst hashtag. And I was like, what did Fred Durst do? Why is everyone mad at Fred Durst?
Can we do another true crime take? In addition to our efforts to free people from prison, especially if they're some sort of celebrity, another really memorable moment from the show is when the audio kept running after we confronted Virgil with evidence of a horrible crime. Virgil, I mean, let's be clear. Like, it's right here on this piece of paper.
It's just a piece of paper.
I mean, did you do this?
It's a piece of paper.
Is that you?
Well, I need a minute. I need a minute. I need a. Can I have a minute?
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
All right.
I mean,
right.
Yeah, we'll break.
Okay.
All right. Virgil's in the bathroom, but. After, I mean, you guys want to get food or something after this? What do you want to order?
I'm going to get the fucking fried chicken again. It's been too many times in a row.
By the way, why did Virgil bring his mic to the bathroom with him? That's weird.
It's just he can't piss without it.
Oh, okay. All right, whatever.
I know that from working.
We'll order after the show. I hope he's not saying anything incriminating.
Oh, I got him. Yeah, I got him. All those comments deleted. Jalopnik, Deadspin, goodbye, beer nerd. You have been moderated. They don't suspect a goddamn thing. You're welcome, AJ DeLorio. That's it. I did it. I deleted them all, of course.
Another dimension that's been added to the show as, you know, we sort of mature and evolve as a podcast and as people is sort of our more educational episodes where we like delve into a topic in history. And I thought a really good one that we did about that was when we discussed the Dulcinian heresy that Umberto Eco fictionalized in his great book, The Name of the Rose, and delved into the history of the Waldensians and the early, these apostolic Christian sects in the 13th century Italy. So let's play a clip of that show.
No, but like for real, like, okay, if you don't fucking believe me, try it. Try it. Go, like get your dick sucked on a plane. Because of evolution, human beings, when their balls are being, your cum is in your balls. Because of evolution, like when a caveman would get his dick sucked, that would be an opportunity for another caveman to kill him with a spear. So, like, first of all, like when the tip is wet, like the arches of your feet sort of go up so you can sprint at any moment. Because all the dudes who couldn't do that, they got killed in the caveman era. So when you're on a plane, the sort of lightening of your body, first from the emptying of your balls and the entering of combat stance to run away, you will enter a zero gravity state. It doesn't matter if you're only like, 20,000 feet in the air, you will go zero gravity.
Sorry, we got to start. The Name of the Rose is actually about semiotics.
Yeah, semiotics, that's like, you should take probiotics before you get your dick sucked. Because, like, I just found this out. Apparently there are good germs and bad germs. And bad germs are the kind of, like, you know, like when your friend, like, blows his nose into your mouth as a joke. But good germs are, like, the stuff you get in yogurt. I used to think yogurt, you just have, you drink yogurt if you're a woman.
All right, we're back, folks. So as I alluded to at the beginning of the episode, we have departed the Park Slope Mansion and are now in the Lawrenceville Mansion here in Pittsburgh.
We've taken the gyrocopter out into the country.
we took our Zeppelin out for a spin and came all the way here to Western Pennsylvania. And I don't want to let this show go recorded without, you know, getting into the reason we were here. And we came because just last night we did another live show with our good friends Brett and Brian of Street Fight. And genuinely, one of the coolest things that has happened since we started doing the show is the opportunity to do these live shows in front of like an audience of people who like came out to see us. And it's like really one of the funnest things I think we've done on the show is, like I said, the live shows and like meeting fans and just like seeing people that are happy to come out and laugh with us.
Yeah, and to the last night's show is one of the best we've done, no question.
Yeah, the crowd last night, this is not a joke. We actually performed in the basement of a pizza restaurant called Spirit.
Yep.
Which is
the pepperoni pie was
not even as a joke. The pizza there was excellent.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
Hot, crisp, young, tender.
We're not joking. Yeah. I'm just talking about pizza.
The literal pizza was amazing.
So supple. It was
well, that's another thing that we've now done on this show is that it's now impossible to talk about pizza.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that apparently the funniest thing is that we obviously have been infected with the pizza disease, but even more are like the actual earnest Pizzagate people. Like, people have started investigating pizza shops in their hometowns.
That's so awesome.
Well, it's a pizza restaurant, so there's got to be kids in the basement.
Matt,
and so, like, this is one of the most delicious foods you can have, and for millions of Americans, it's just ruined because they can't not think of child rape.
Did you guys know there's going to be a Pizzagate march on Washington on the 25th?
Fuck no.
And we,
we have to go.
We gotta go. We gotta Italian chefs.
Yeah.
We gotta have the hats. We gotta be going, hey, that's
if you're listening to this show and you're in DC land, definitely go to that Pizzagate march.
Oh, yeah, I would love to get
to the bottom of it.
That's the most biblical punishment, by the way, for like asshole wonks in DC. It's like for all these years, you're just like, I'm gonna see another hip hop musical, go to a bar where they name drinks after Avril Harriman, and then everything just in like seemingly a day, everything crashes overnight, and now your streets are gonna be clogged with just like mouth breathing chuds and morons who are like, oh, I think Papa John's fucks kids.
Because, I mean, we told the story when we went to D.C. for the nightmarish
inaugural
week about how Virgil yelled, "What the fuck is wrong with this city?" And some earnest young Lanyard yelled, "Sir, nothing is wrong with this city." That guy is going to have a fun time when he's got a 300-pounder in his face yelling, "Where are the fucking kids, you pervert?"
Yeah. Yeah, that's so awesome. Some guy's going to come to that guy's workplace with like a compound bow. Be like, "I am going to start shooting right now if you do not produce your fucking pizza receipts."
Yeah, so, I mean, God, we've been in Pittsburgh like, what, 48 hours now? I mean, this town rules. Pittsburgh is great.
We love it.
Like, I would almost want to live here.
Pennsylvania has some of the best dirty towns in America.
Dirty old town. But yeah, like I said, I do want to just acknowledge again Street Fight and Brett and Brian, because as far as I'm concerned, they are the godfathers of the dirtbag left. Mm-hmm. You know, Amber coined that term, but I think like Street Fight were the guys.
They were doing it earlier.
They were doing it real early.
And not to mention the fact that we literally wouldn't have a show if we hadn't all gone on their show to talk about the Benghazi movie.
We've talked about it before, but our first appearance, all three of us, the three founding Chapos, was on Street Fight. And just the fact that like, we're doing shows now with Street Fight. They have like, they're blowing up too. Like they're doing two shows a week. They're doing Patreon. They're having success and like they're dedicating more of their time to doing the podcast and putting out this zine that I saw for the first time last night. That is fucking fantastic.
Zine.
Zine.
Are you
zine?
Are you
zine?
Will you have
what the fuck,
you,
dude?
Why? you have that thing that like everyone's mom has, where it's just like they just find a way to like say vowels wrong when they're in the middle of a word.
It's like, hey, did you see a movie last night? Well, yeah, it was a movie with that Jake Gyllenhaal. He's really good. He's got mom pronunciation.
Well, acknowledge now another long running thread on this show is my weird dyslexia pronouncing words and shit.
Will is trying to be earnest. He's going, and Matt just looked at me.
It was glaring. Man. It was.
I thought it was a joke.
Magazine.
Listeners would have wanted us to address.
Yeah.
Fucking,
it's short,
dude,
for
I've heard it pronounced that way. No one pronounces it that way. Who pronounces that way?
No one pronounces it that way. Like I said, it's short for magazine.
Have you never heard Bikini Kill?
No.
No. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Hold on a minute. Let's not go nuts. With the 90s.
No one's heard.
I was going to transition out of being very earnest and. Saying how proud I am to be on a stage with Brett and Brian and then you guys, but now that's gone.
Well, okay. Well, you're just proud to be on a stage with Brett and Brian because we are trying to intervene and help our friend to say words right. Man, so like, when did you first start pronouncing words wrong? Was it like a fuck you to the man?
Well, I do want to give a shout out to Spirit.
Hell yeah.
I just cannot leave that connotation. Spirit, which is a very delicious, cool pizza place and bar. I spoke with the owner for a little bit. He was very happy to have us here, and it was our pleasure to be there. And if you're in Pittsburgh, definitely check this place out.
But, Street Fight, Brett and Brian, I feel like, you know, our success has spawned other successes as well. And I feel like in some ways, you know, people are calling us the Velvet Underground of podcasts, in that we're now all on heroin and are producing mostly unlistenable content.
Yeah.
Wow.
And yes. And
well, you didn't like Loaded.
And I've committed myself to being the most repellent human on the face of the earth.
Just like we did with What the Fuck and Ricky Gervais Show, I would like to state for the record, I actually love the Velvet Underground and Lou Reed, okay?
Yeah, they both kick ass.
I saw him one time before he died.
I took a leak next to him at Carnegie Hall.
Nice.
Ooh, one-upped you there.
He did
okay.
One-up him. But he was wrapped in a sheet when I saw him. He literally looked like a mummy, so checkmate.
But genuinely, though, this past year doing the show has been like awesome. I'm astounded by the success of it. I'm astounded by how much fun I have doing it, and just like how much better we've gotten at doing it. Like, it felt right from the beginning, basically, from episode 2, in my opinion. But like, I really enjoy like the way the show has evolved and continues to grow, and our audience and like the people who listen to our show and do their own podcast. Like, I think that's amazing. And again, to be genuine, I do want to say to my two founding co-hosts, Felix, I think, is genuinely, both in writing and off the cuff, one of the funniest people I've ever known. And like, you know, you're a 5-star comedian. You got all the skills necessary.
You're a New York 5, but a Pittsburgh 10.
When I go to Pittsburgh, they're like, oh man, this guy is talking about dick and balls in a way that I've never heard.
You're the Beppe Grillo of comedy.
Yeah, no, Felix off the cuff is deadly. And then, of course, to Matt, I think the real heart and soul of the show, the conscience of the show, you know, the voice of the people. Like, and genuinely, Matt is one of the most informed, and like, I don't think the show would work without him because of the foundation of intelligence and historical knowledge and moral perspective that you bring to the show, and I mean that seriously.
Well, I do need to make up for not being as funny, so I'm glad that
that's not true.
I thought about this in one interview one time when someone was doing it. I was like, I didn't end up saying it, but I was like, well, I would think that Will is like the voice, because he keeps the whole thing, like he's the constant, and he's the most recognizable voice, you know, at the start. And then Felix is like, he's like the hands, because he's
the shooter.
He's
his fingers on the
Matt
trigger.
Is the heart, and then I started to be like OJ in the series, or maybe Felix is the brain and Matt's the dick, and then Virgil is like the asshole.
Can me and Virgil be the taint and hole?
That's where I ended up with it. Yeah,
I just want to be the feet, baby.
I want to be the train. No, like this, this show wouldn't work without any other configuration of people. Like, Will is the only person I know with any type of executive function of knowing where something goes, because if Will wasn't here, the show would just be me like, what if Napoleon was gay?
If I wasn't here, the show would be like your room and now this house that we're staying at.
Yeah.
Which is, for the listeners, within 5 minutes of Felix being in this house, the living room is already completely fucked up.
He literally
his
just
giant duffel bag
over.
Just like inverted inside out, like exploded outward, and there's just like clothes, just sacks of Kratom, just his weird workout jugs. It's just fucking every. Just the floor is covered.
He just scattered it all.
Supplements,
well,
okay, pills.
So
Christ
yeah,
knows
like,
what else.
So I have my BCAA pack and my pre-workout. And I have to scatter that around to, like, mark my territory.
Felix is being very colonial.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a colonial settler. But anyway.
No, Will is the Reggie Jackson.
He is
the straw that stirs the drink.
Mm.
Yeah.
It can't work without Will.
And without Matt, like, Matt, first of all, has been right about every prediction he makes.
Except for the one big one. Because I realize now, though, I was basically in denial. I knew he was going to win, but I couldn't process it. It was a Lovecraftian deal.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't look
no,
at
Matt
it.
No, Matt is absolutely the most consistently right and has like the soundest, I think, political judgment
the most
and acumen.
The most humanity of the show. Brendan is the unsung hero of the show. Because
there wouldn't be a show without
There would not
Brendan.
Be a show without
yeah. Unlistenable.
It would be
dribble.
Fucking shit. Yeah. he knows exactly what goes good. He has, in Arabic, there's a term for it that roughly translates to celestial vision. And it's what Hafez Assad, I'm serious. It's what Hafez Assad was described as having. He could see.
Great. I'm so happy.
Yes. He could see what people wanted without them telling them or them even explicitly expressing it. And that's sort of how Brendan sees the show. And also, Brendan cleaned the scum out of the city of Hamam.
So anyway, guys, let's just, hold on. That's how I feel about you guys. That's
yeah,
you,
me too.
By the way.
It's you, dude.
That's how I feel about the whole
and
show.
Also,
and you, the listener. Here's to another year.
Could I just say a couple words about the three of you, about my colleagues?
Go ahead.
Will, it has been an honor to have you as a friend and a colleague and a leader of the program. Allison, the heart of the show. How often have we been hungry and you fed us your delicious blueberry pies? And Jamie, everyone gets a second chance. Here is to another year of making Citizen Radio.
Hell yeah.
All right.
Peace, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Hello. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Citizen Radio. I am Jamie Kilstein, and joining me as always is Matt Christman and Felix Biederman. No, this is not Citizen Radio. This is the first episode of a new podcast that we hope to be bringing you every week. Today, I'll be considering things with my usual co-host, Matt Christman.
Sup, bros?
And Felix Biederman, the other gentleman who's joining us today, Brendan James. Say hi.
Hello, and thank you. Thank you guys for having me on. I'm honored to be the first guest.
So, we're joined now by Virgil Texas. You probably know him as just all-around online funny person. But more importantly, he is one half of America's most accurate political pundit, Carl Diggler.
All right, first off, let me just say thank you all for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here. I'm a huge fan of Keeping It 1600. I got my red solo cup, ready to fist bump the news with you guys.
Let's get
to the bro down.
All right, we all recording?
Yes, we are.
Recording.
Looking good. Turn it down live one more time. 3, 2, 1, go. Close enough.
Amber did not say go, she's off the show. We'll never have her back or speak of her. Goodbye, everybody.
And that was the last woman they had on the show.
talking about piss, mate.